Matthew 16:16 declares one of the greatest revelations of all of Scripture, spoken by a man who had one of the closest relationships of all to God. It was Peter, the fisherman turned disciple, who looked into the face of his leader and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, in response to that amazing revelation built upon relationship, Jesus Christ answered Peter and gave his own personal vision for what the church of Jesus Christ was to become. He said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What a vision it was that Jesus had. A vision spoken even before the church was born. And when it was born, frankly, it wasn't much. A small, struggling group of far-flung Jews, men and women of whom history made very little note. A small church, a struggling church. A church that I am sure the contemporaries never dreamed could ever amount to much. And when at last it did begin to meet with a certain measure of numerical success, all the heathenism and power of the Roman Empire was brought against it and sought to crush it, to stamp it out, to kill off the Christians. But Jesus' vision was right. With all of Rome's armies and with all of Rome's might and all of Rome's hatred, it did not matter because the Church of Jesus Christ prevailed. Years later, when the armies of Islam tried to stamp out the church, it prevailed. Even to this day, when communist countries behind iron and bamboo curtains try to eliminate the Church of Jesus Christ, it prevails. Jesus was right. Not even the gates of hell shall prevail against his church. The Church of Jesus Christ today is more than 1 billion strong around the world. From the jungles of Africa to the jungles of South America, the plains of Australia to the plains of America, the Church of Jesus Christ is moving and growing and stronger than ever it has been ever in its history. He was right. Jesus was right when he told that improbable group of disciples, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We are part of that vision. We are part of that church. And so we here at Wooddale in 1984 are to share Jesus' vision and to build Jesus' church. I believe that God has given to us in this church and at this time a most unusual opportunity to see the vision and to share in the fulfillment of it. Let me review with you for just a moment or two some of the things that God has done. God has blessed us. Oh, he has blessed us. God has blessed this church with an unusually large number of men and women who are most seriously and deeply committed to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. God has given to this church an amazing and almost incredible resiliency and flexibility to cope with difficult changes and to rise to humanly extraordinary challenges. God has blessed us with unusual resources in leadership, in teaching, in preaching, in music, in fellowship, in discipleship, in evangelism. He has enabled us to move from a present facility which has been God's special place and adequate for God's blessing in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s into a new, almost breathtaking 31-acre campus, which is God's place for his blessings and to contain them in the 80s and into the 90s. I am convinced that there is not one church in 10,000 in this country that would dare to undertake the type of move and the step of faith that Wooddale is now in the process of taking. He has blessed us in most tangible ways, not the least of which is the recent announcement of the proposed sale of this site and the adjoining houses, putting this church in a position of moving into a $4.25 million project with an indebtedness somewhere around $500,000. God has given to this church nearly 2,000 people, 2,000 people of astonishing, I think, astonishing opportunity to begin, in a sense, anew, and yet with all the strength of the past and all of the challenge of the future. God has called Wooddale Church to something great. And the people of this church have said, yes. Yes, God. Yes, by your grace and by your spirit and through your power, we want to be part of something great for you. Not for us, but something great for God. That is not to say that it has been easy. Like you, I too have agonized over difficult decisions. Like you, I have wondered and worried about finances along the way. Like you, I have shared concern and wept for those brothers and sisters who have left our fellowship. Like you, I have seldom ever in my life had my faith so tested and so challenged as through all that God has led us in. But I'll tell you that it's worth it. It's worth it because God's worth it. He has answered our prayers, and he has blessed our faith, and he has encouraged us in our doubts, and he has called us with a vision to the future. And so, like the prophets of the Old Testament who said, the time has come no longer to look back. The time has come to turn around and look forward, to see that which God is going to do. And I am more confident and more excited and more convinced and more full of expectation that God is in the process of doing something great than I have ever been before in my life. What then is the vision? What is our vision as a church family? No, that's wrongly stated. What is God's vision for this church, which he has called us to see and to share in? It is not a vision of a building, and it's not a vision of land, and it's not a vision of money, and it's not a vision of fame, and it's not a vision of numbers. Any one of those things would be tragically inappropriate. Rather, it is the vision of a grand opportunity to be something great for God. That's really what it distills down to. It is a vision which, almost like a mountain range before us, seems to have a few towering peaks, sometimes almost out of view in the fog and the clouds. But then the sunlight breaks through and God lets us see them. His vision of what he wants and that to which he has called us. Certainly the highest of those mountain peaks has to be a vision that everything is for God's glory. No one ever said it better than King David in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Listen to what he said in verses 10 to 13. Blessed art thou, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou rulest over all. In thy hand are power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now, David says, and now we thank thee, our God, and praise thy glorious name. Our vision for Wooddale must be a vision for God's glory, so that every program and every building and every service and every class and every staff member and every activity and everything must have as its primary objective the highest peak on the horizon, the glory of God. 6 months ago, we gathered together in the gymnasium of Richfield High School, and we talked about the glory of God. And there understood it to be defined very simply as enhancing God's reputation. That's what it's all about. That's what our lives are to be all about. And particularly, that's what we, as the body of Jesus Christ, collectively are to be all about. That we make God look good. He is good, you know. But that his reputation be enhanced, that it be uplifted so that people can see how good he is and what he is. And so the vision of Wooddale must be a vision that we as a church, as people and place, are invariably seeking to honor God and to give him the credit and give him the praise. We talked over recent weeks about worship and what it means. That when we gather together here on a Sunday morning, it is not that we be entertained or even primarily that we be instructed or benefited. We are here primarily for God. We've come to worship him. When we give in an offering, financial stewardship is not to support a church or a budget. It's for God. Everything for God. When we're involved in evangelistic outreach, when we share a word of witness, when we share that marvelous delight of seeing a sinner become a saint, it's not for us. Not primarily to make us happier, to grow our numbers. It's for God, for his reputation. Maybe it's a good time to again sound a word of warning, one that I've spoken before, and for those that are with me in conversation during the week, one that I speak maybe almost too much for their hearing. I'm concerned that somehow along the way we face a serious temptation that we must carefully avoid. That when God's blessings are evidenced through the life of this or any other church, when the numbers increase or the buildings are built or the finances expand or the number of missionaries sent out becomes legion, when the good things happen, what a temptation it is. And you'll hear it, in fact, you'll be tempted to do it. To say, you know why that happened? It's because that church built a new building. It's because we moved from one place to another. That's why those good things happened. The scripture is explicit in saying that God is a God who will not share his glory. He will not share his glory with a building. God will not share his glory with a piece of property. God will not share his glory with a church. God will not share his glory with a pastor. He will not share his glory with a program. God will not share his glory, nor ought he, with anyone or anything. When God does something good and when God does something great, we as the recipients of his goodness and his grace, we especially as committed Christians, must respond by giving that praise, giving that glory, giving that credit to God who deserves it. To enhance his reputation. What is our vision? More than anything else, the vision for the future of this church is a vision of everything for God's glory. Now there is a second mountain peak. It is the vision of everyone with God's best. One of the marks of maturity in any individual's life is that point when he or she comes to the realization of saying, I am who I am as an individual. And I cannot be someone else. We cannot all play tennis like Jimmy Connors, or we cannot all preach a sermon like Billy Graham, or we cannot all be president of the United States like Ronald Reagan, or write poetry like Robert Frost. We can't be someone that we're not. Now, some people struggle with that through adolescence in particular, and some people struggle with that through all of life. One of the greatest days in life is coming to the point of saying, I am who I am. I'm never going to be someone else. I'm never going to measure up to their standards or their fame or be them. I'm me. But then, especially as Christians, we have the delight of saying, I am who I am, but I am going to have God's best for me. And God's best for me in who I am as an individual is far superior than ever being anyone else or being like anyone else. God does not call us to be everybody, nor does God call us to be everything. He simply calls us to be his best for the individuals he has made us to be. That is clearly the point that the Apostle Paul makes in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Listen to six verses, Ephesians 4:11-16. Saying that his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, all different. Individuality. God calls some to be one, others to be another. All of these things are his gifts to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the cunning of men, by their craftiness and deceitful wiles. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and it builds itself in love. In other words, Christ's vision for the church is that this is the place where people are able to become what God wants them to be. Many of our homes are not the kinds of places where we can become the people that God wants us to be. Many of the places we work are places where the influence is to the contrary, tending to mold us into the kinds of people we ought not to be. But if ever there is a place, and God has given to us a vision of that place, as the place where people can become their best for God, it ought be the Church of Jesus Christ. We've had a task force working this past year trying to crystallize how we communicate the message and the life and the vibrancy of Wooddale Church. And the conclusion was to come up with sort of a slogan that should appear, I suppose, on advertisements and such things. And it's good. It's simple. But it's profound. It goes like this. A place to belong. A place to become. God calls this church to be the kind of place where people can become their very best for God. That's going to be different for different people. There are some people who are part of the Wooddale Church Fellowship who grew up in Christian homes, who have known Jesus Christ for a half of a century, who are well-versed in Scripture, who wear out Bibles regularly, who know Scripture by heart, who can quote all kinds of things and are profoundly wise in the truths of God. For them, this is a place to become an effective minister of Jesus Christ and to share those good things with other people. For another person coming into this fellowship, it's someone who does not know Jesus Christ at all and so needs to hear the very rudimentary basics of the gospel of Jesus Christ and be led to the Savior. There are some who come here and are part of our fellowship and in this room this morning who are desperately lonely and need fellowship and friendship. For those, it is a place to become, to open up to God's best in relationships with other people. And there are some who are so deeply hurting that they simply want to be left alone, hardly even spoken to, and are embarrassed on those occasions when in a church service we might have people introduce themselves to one another because they prefer to be isolated away from other people. There are some who come here and are part of our fellowship who have deep relational hurts that need to be met. And there are other people, frankly, who have life pretty well together. There are some who are struggling with drugs and alcohol. There are others who are struggling with extramarital affairs. There are others whose concern in life has to do with financial things and employment. A multitude of different kinds of people. The idea is not that we go through a cookie cutter and all become the same and turn out exactly alike. The vision that God has is that we all become what he has called us to become. That every single one of us have God's best. So that the vision for Wooddale Church is that we provide the means for the best for everyone whom God gives to us. It's a vision. A vision to provide the classes and the programs, or the friends, or the facilities, or the sermons, or the teachers, or the lessons. Whatever is needed. So that every single person can become the very best for God. What does that practically include? Well, ultimately, I suppose it includes everything from a gymnasium to a prayer room, premarital counseling to retirement preparation. It includes all kinds of things, from Bible teaching to financial aid, from opportunities to minister to opportunities to be ministered unto. It encompasses things from youth ministry to singles ministry to couples retreats to music, all kinds of things. But the point of it is that we provide everything else that is necessary so that Wooddale can be the place where hurting people can be healed, where people who need to grow can grow, where people who need to be equipped can be equipped, where people who need to minister and share can minister and share, where we can become the best for God. The vision is that it be said near and far, if you want to be the best for God, if you want to become not someone else but what God has called you to become, the place where that can happen is Wooddale Church. The third peak of our vision is the vision of being everywhere in God's name. You see, Jesus' vision for his church was not a vision that he simply give the glory to the Father, nor that he simply enable us to become the best. But it was a vision that once and along the way, as we become all that God calls us to become, that we then share that as his representative. So Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, to go and make disciples of all nations. He instructed those disciples that were at the beginning in Acts 1:8, that you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus' vision for his church was to have his people everywhere representing him and representing his gospel. Now, the question is, of course, how does that translate for us? Somehow that seems like a high and lofty godlike goal, written almost 2,000 years ago, spoken then by Jesus. How does that practically relate to us as a church family in metropolitan Minneapolis, St. Paul, in the end of the 20th century? It means that our vision is to represent God in every possible place, in every suburb of our metropolitan area, in every section of every suburb, in every block of every section. Some examples. Wooddalers now live and represent Jesus Christ in Richfield, in Bloomington, in Minneapolis, in Edina, in Eden Prairie, in Eagan, in St. Paul, in Burnsville, Hopkins, Minnetonka, St. Louis Park, Prior Lake, Arden Hills, Roseville, and other suburbs and cities as well. We are amazingly distributed and an amazingly regional church. That's the way it is. What's the vision? If the vision be to be everywhere in God's name, then our vision then should be to represent God in every section of every one of these suburbs, of every section of every one of these cities, to go beyond. What about in our professions? I got to thinking what professions are perhaps most represented in the constituency of our church family, and there are several that seem to stand out. One of them happens to be medicine. So we have a number of people who are nurses and dentists and chiropractors and technicians and physicians. And then I got to thinking about some of the specialties that are within these categories. For example, amongst physicians include those who are involved in pediatrics and hematology and cardiology and rheumatology and internal medicine and pathology and radiology and physical medicine and some studying to become physicians or be in other branches of medicine. So the representatives of God are there already, and the representatives of Jesus Christ through Wooddale Church. But what about a vision? A vision of representing God in every specialty in medicine. What about in every hospital? What about in the university faculty? What about in every medical building in the metropolitan area? Or look at it another way. Wooddalers now represent Jesus Christ in a multitude of professions, as plumbers, electricians, salesmen, managers, secretaries, pilots, flight attendants, scientists, bankers, computer programmers, truck drivers, attorneys, mechanics, teachers, musicians, stockbrokers, and on and on and on and on and on the list goes. But what about looking to the day when God would enable us to represent him in virtually every profession that men and women do within the metropolitan area? Or what about in terms of companies? Currently, Wooddalers represent the kingdom of God and the Church of Jesus Christ at Honeywell and IBM and Control Data and Northwest and Republic and Penny's and Sears and the federal government. What about a vision that God calls us to, that we be his representatives in every major company in all the metropolitan area? Or what about the fact that Wooddalers now represent God in America and in Japan and Belgium and Niger and Canada and in other countries? What about the day when God calls upon us to be his representatives in every possible country of the world? The Full Gospel Central Church in Seoul, Korea, when Charlene and I visited there in 1979, had what seemed to be an unlikely goal because they were many thousands away from it. It was the goal that they have 100,000 members in that church, which is now purported to be the largest church in the world. That, of course, was almost 5 years ago. The last I heard, and I'll admit that my information is kind of old, they have significantly passed the 250,000 number in their membership, and their goal is currently 500,000. This is one church. Talk about multiple services. It's crazy, the things that they do there. One of the ways in which they have sought to honor God is by having representatives in cell groups in every apartment building in the city of Seoul, Korea. And Seoul is a city of numerous and huge apartment buildings. And then those representatives of Christ and the Full Gospel Central Church are to permeate that building with the message of Jesus Christ. And then they're part of a network that ties into the other cell groups, all related to the church throughout all of the apartment buildings, or at least that's the ultimate goal in the entire city of Seoul. They found, for example, that if some people are working on some neighbors and giving them the gospel, and the people that are the unbelievers get a little bit defensive about it to the point that they move to another apartment building across the city, that almost always is possible to make contact with the other apartment building, and then when they arrive there, be welcomed in and have a potluck dinner and gospel presentation waiting for them and all that. So there's no place for them to go. We're representatives of Jesus Christ, and the gospel of Jesus Christ will not be waiting for them. What a vision. What a vision of so representing God. Now for Wooddale, the vision is Jesus' vision. It's the vision of being everywhere in God's name. There then, my fellow disciples, is the vision. Being part of something great for God. Wooddale Church, where the vision is everything for God's glory, everyone with God's best, and everywhere in God's name. But you know perfectly well that it is not enough that that be my vision. In fact, it isn't even enough that it's Jesus' vision. It's got to be your vision. In his inaugural address, January 20th, 1961, President John Kennedy said, "All this will not be finished in the first 100 days, nor will it be finished in the first 1,000 days, nor in the life of this administration, not even perhaps in our lifetime on this planet. But let us begin." Our vision, Wooddale Church. An amazing God-given opportunity to be part of something great for Him. Everything for God's glory. Everyone with God's best. Everywhere in God's name. Not in 100 days or even 1,000 days. Maybe not even in our lifetime. But let us begin. Let us begin.